Thank you, Dave, and good morning to each one of you. So thankful to have the privilege of being here with you and to have the additional privilege of opening the Word of God and sharing with you. It's a joy to come up here and to share, not only to have the opportunity to share, but to share something that I know is true, that I am sure of, convinced about, because it's the Word of God. We don't come here to present our own perspectives and viewpoints and opinions, but rather we come here to see what God is saying to us, and that's what's important. And I hope that this morning you're looking forward to hearing the voice of God speaking to you. And that's a wonderful privilege that we have, because we have the Word of God and we have the Spirit of God who takes the Word of God and impresses that on our hearts. And God's Word, we read in the Scripture, is a living Word. It's alive and powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And I hope that you're ready this morning to have the sword go deep into your heart. When we come together and we hear the Word of God, there are many responses, many reactions, many even emotions that we may experience. And we want to be encouraged, we want to be challenged, we want to be comforted, and we also want whatever it is that God might want us to experience this morning. And I trust that that will be true as we look into the Word of God and listen to Him as He speaks to us. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. If you'd like to just turn one time, you can go to Ephesians 5. If you don't mind thumbing through your Bible a little bit, you can start out in Genesis 13, because we're going to read a few verses in Genesis 13. Then we're going to read a couple of verses from Joshua chapter 1. As we continue on our study, presently in the book of Ephesians, but that is reflecting back into our study of the nation of Israel and their journey from Egypt to Canaan. We had worked our way to Joshua. We're going to look at a couple of verses there this morning, but we're looking particularly now in the book of Ephesians about how it is that we can appropriate in our own individual lives, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, how we can appropriate the spiritual blessings that God has given to us, made available to us. Not only the material blessings that we so much enjoy and are so thankful for, but even more importantly, knowing in an experiential way the spiritual blessings, and we've looked at a number of those over in the first chapters of Ephesians, and we may mention a couple of them as well. But now we're working our way through the second half of Ephesians, chapters 4 through 6. As I mentioned, we're in chapter 5 presently, and we've been seeing something about a walk, and the walk representing there our lives. We see that in order to appropriate the blessings that God has given to us, the spiritual blessings, we saw in the first half of chapter 4 that we need to do it together as a team. And then we began to look at the second half of chapter 4, and we saw that we're not to walk, we're not to have a lifestyle that would be similar or the same as, rather, those who don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you might look around and you might say, well, there's some people here this morning. Many of them say they're saved, and I don't see that my life is that much different than theirs. Well, the Word of God, that's why it's a sword. You see, it goes down deep. Because we can model our lives after another person, and we can try to live our lives a certain way and after a certain pattern, but that might not be the reality of our lives. We're going to see this morning, too, we're going to go deeper than just the outward to the inward and the motivation. Why do I do what I do? And our lives should be different, those of us who know the Lord Jesus, both the outward expression and also the inward motivation. The outward expression is reflected as a walk. And as we walk through the promised land, remember, for the believer, the promised land is not heaven, though that is a land that is promised. But as we find it taken and symbolized in the Old Testament, it's living right here in this life, but enjoying the blessings of heaven today, right where we are in all this week. In Genesis 13, we read about Abram. This is before his name was changed to Abraham. And if you look in verse 14 of chapter 13, you will see something about walking. a picture for us. Genesis 13, and in verse 14, we read these words, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." There's a promise from God to Abraham. Abram, you're going to have many, many offspring. And I want you to look around, look to the right and the left and frontwards and backwards. He used the points of the compass, north, south, east, and west. And that would take in all the land that Abram could see from where he was standing. And he said, "I'm going to give all of this to your posterity. Now go and walk. Walk through the land, Abram. Walk through the land and appreciate what is going to belong to your offspring." Now look over in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, many years after the Lord spoke to Abram and told him to walk through the land. Walk through this land. I'm promising it to you, Abram. You can count on it. Now here are many of the offspring of Abram. Now at this point, the offspring of Abraham and Sarah through their son Isaac, and then through Jacob and his 12 sons. And we find these 12 tribes of Israel. They've gone through the wilderness. They've been taken out of Egypt. God's great power has redeemed them by blood. They've gone through the wilderness, and now they're ready to enter into that promised land that God told Abram, "Look around, look every direction, it's all going to be yours." And now they're ready to go into that land and to take possession of that land. Look at Joshua chapter 1 as we begin the book. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you." Now he speaks to another leader. He speaks to Joshua, and it's Joshua's responsibility to lead the people of God into this land of promise. And he says, "Everywhere your foot steps, that's land I have given to you. Now get up and go." We find as we go to the New Testament book of Ephesians, where we'll be in just a moment, there we find, as it were, a sample of the promised land for the believer today. And Joshua illustrates for us someone whose name was the same, Jesus. His Hebrew name, Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. The Lord saves. And the Lord Jesus leads us into the promised land. And he says, "Everywhere you walk, you're going to be able to take advantage of those spiritual blessings." Look over, if you will, in the book of Ephesians, where I promised you would get to. You may already be there. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, and we've been looking at these spiritual blessings and how we can attain them. They're already ours, by the way. They've already been provided. They've been paid for. They've been given. We've just got to get up. He told Abram, "Arise and walk through the land." He told Joshua, "Arise and go, and everywhere you step is going to be your land." We've got to get up and we've got to move out spiritually by faith, and we've got to appropriate these blessings. The blessings that are already ours positionally, but practically speaking, if we're going to enjoy them as ours, we've got to, by faith, go in and take and appropriate those, take advantage of them individually. Now in chapter 5, we've already seen in the first two verses that our walk should be a walk in love. And we said that the key word there is selflessness. The Lord Jesus, we read in verse 2, loved us and gave Himself for us. Selflessness. We're to walk like the Lord Jesus walked. And then we find in verses 3 to 14 that we're to walk as children of light, specifically in verse 8. And light insinuates purity and holiness, and the key word here is separation. And now we're down to verse 15, and we're going to look at verses 15 to 21 and read those together. And we're going to see that we should also walk in wisdom. Remember, this is an illustration of our lives, the way that we live our lives. We're to live lives of love, that's selflessness. We're to live lives of light, that's separation from evil, the light in contrast to the darkness. And now we're to live lives of wisdom. And the key word here we're going to see is sensitivity. Sensitivity to the Lord. So verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you want to take advantage of those spiritual blessings that we looked at in chapters 1 through 3? Do you want them to be a reality of experience in your life? Or are you content just to go on and not worry about them if you're not already personally experiencing them? Again, if you know the Lord Jesus, they're yours. They're yours, but you've got to take and appropriate those. If you want to, part of what we have to do is live our lives in a way that God considers wise. That God considers wise. In verse 15, which is kind of an introductory verse to this thought of walking in wisdom, we read that the King James says, see then that you walk circumspectly. If you have a King James that maybe is updated, you may have the word carefully. If you have a different translation, very likely you have the word carefully. And carefully is really the thought. Literally, the thought is accurately. But in the context here and in the Greek, it should be probably translated carefully, circumspectly. Circumspectly is a word that was used many years ago, but we wouldn't use that word very much in our own discussions today. So he's talking about walking in a way that would be a careful walk. Now you might think of this illustration. You might think of yourself as in the military, or you might think of yourself as in a situation where there is military around and you're in a war zone. And you've got to get from where you are to another point, but you know that the enemy has placed mines all through this field, and you've got to go through the field. There's no way around it. Maybe there's a big river on this side and a big canyon gorge on that side, and you've got to go through it, and the enemy knew you were coming through, and so they buried mines all there, something that would explode if you stepped on it. How are you going to walk through that? Well, if you're a wise person, you're going to walk carefully. You're going to walk, you're going to watch every step, and you're going to be very precise. And if there's any way to tell that the earth has been moved, something's been buried there, you can be sure you're not going to walk on it. You're going to be careful. You're going to choose every step wisely. And he says, see then that you walk carefully. In other words, see then that you walk like you're walking through a minefield, not as a fool would do it. How would a fool do it? They wouldn't pay attention. They just walk right through. Wouldn't even think about it. They wouldn't be concerned. But a wise person would be careful, and they would walk carefully. As we look through the Word of God, you may come up with a number of different definitions of wisdom. But as I study wisdom in the Word of God, I see wisdom in this way. Wisdom is looking ahead and seeing what is going to be the result of a decision that I'm making now, and then making my decision based on that outcome. Looking ahead, and as best I can tell, saying, if I do this, then that's going to happen. If I step on that piece of ground that it's pretty obvious has been dug up, if I step on that, I'm going to get blown up, or my leg's going to get blown off, or my foot at least. So now I've got to make a decision. We say, well, that's a no-brainer. That's no decision to make at all. That's how the wise person thinks. The foolish person doesn't look at it. They don't pay attention. They're oblivious to what is going to be the result of what they do. And we can all look at our lives, and there are areas of all of our lives where we're wise. If you weren't wise to some degree, you wouldn't be here this morning. You wouldn't have made it this far in life. But you have. But there's a spiritual wisdom. And the wise are to be careful. Over in Luke chapter 16, an interesting story. I won't ask you to turn there for sake of time, but an interesting story that the Lord Jesus told about a manager whom the Lord Jesus described as unjust or unrighteous. But this unrighteous manager who had misused his master's funds and was going to lose his job, he came up with a very interesting way to get around, or how was he going to take care of himself when he lost his job? And he went around and did some things that were not very ethical. But his master commended him because he had been wise in material things. Why? Because he looked ahead and he said, I'm going to be out of a job. And so I've got to do something. I've got to make a decision now so that when I get to that position, I'll be taken care of. He was being wise. And the Lord Jesus said this in Luke chapter 16 and verse 8. The Lord, the Master, commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That's interesting because back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, we mentioned this morning, we were told that we're to walk as children of light. Children who are walking in the light of God, but here more directly, walking as the light. Walking in a way that is different, a way in which holiness is demonstrated rather than unholiness. And yet the Lord Jesus said, you know what? When it comes to material things, things of this world, the children of this world are often wiser. They look to the future. They make decisions now materially based on the outcome down the road. And they do a better job of that than the children of light do, than the believers do when it comes to spiritual things. And we might even ask ourselves sometimes, am I more adept at making decisions that affect my material well-being than I am at making decisions that affect my spiritual well-being? Am I more concerned about my material circumstances down the road than I am about my spiritual circumstances down the road? We read in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 that the fear of the Lord, reverence for God, is the beginning of knowledge. We read in Proverbs 9 and verse 10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We read in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 that the Lord gives wisdom, and out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse 13 says, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. And in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, we read that in the Lord Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. As we look through these thoughts about wisdom and walking lives of wisdom, living lives of wisdom according to God, Living lives of wisdom when it comes to making decisions about spiritual matters and our spiritual well-being and our lives lived before the Lord and lived before those who do not know the Lord Jesus and lived before other believers. The key word is sensitivity. Not necessarily a sensitivity to what other people think, but rather a sensitivity to the Lord, a sensitivity to God, a sensitivity to the one who gave his life for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. You know, it's sad, but our default is worldly wisdom. You know, when you have a computer, if you have more than one printer that you may use with your computer, let's say you use a computer at home and then you take it to work or somewhere else and you have a different printer and you have to set your computer up where it'll work with the different printers, but one printer has to be the default printer. And the default printer is the one that if you don't go in and tell the computer which printer you're using, it's going to automatically assume that you're using the default printer. Maybe it's the one at your house, and you go to work, and you plug it in, and the thing won't print. Why? Why won't it print? Because it's going to the default printer, and you're not hooked up to that. And you know what we're going to see as we look at these verses, and we see what the wisdom of God is, the wisdom of the Lord. We should be sensitive to His wisdom that we might walk wisely. But you know, as human beings, our default wisdom is the wisdom of the world. If we're not on guard, if we're not careful, if we're not doing what Paul says here in verse 15, see then, see to it. Be aware, be careful to walk carefully, because if you don't try to do that consciously, you're not going to do it. You're going to default to the ways of this world. We're still in the flesh. We live in the world. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And even though we've received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, those of us who have, and we've been made new creations in Christ, we still battle these enemies as we walk through the promised land. And if we aren't careful, if we're not on guard, if we're not aware, we're going to go the way of the world. And we're going to use the wisdom of the world, which God has made foolishness, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If we don't choose an alternative, our default response will be the wisdom of the world. So we've got to be careful. That's where we got to start out. A carefulness, a sensitivity to what the Lord wants us to do. How does this walk look? We see three things about this walk. The first one's in verse 16. And we find here that we need to be sensitive, that we might be wise in selecting the best investment for our walk. The best investment. Notice there again in the King James it reads like this: redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming, redemption, purchasing is the thought here. Purchasing. The picture is that of investment. Of investment. And he says, I want you to invest wisely your time. Now, the thought of the word time here, there are two different words that are normally used in the Greek. One just speaks of time in general. The other word, which we have here, speaks of a specific portion of time, a segment of time, or a point in time. So he's talking here about buying up, redeeming, purchasing, investing wisely each section of time. Every opportunity that comes up, we're to invest it wisely. We're to buy it up. I was visiting with one of the shut-ins recently, and you know, I enjoy visiting the shut-ins. You learn a lot, not only about them and about the Lord, but you learn a lot about history. These older folks, they've seen a lot of things. This lady was telling me a story. I don't know what in the world brought this up. But we were talking, and she talked about this neighbor that she used to have. And she said she went to the store, not as many stores back in those days, she went to the store to buy some dog food. And they were out of dog food. Well, it turns out her neighbor had bought up all the dog food, but not for his dog, for him. And she said back in these days, the dog food was horse meat. Now, I don't know where the, you know, I don't want to say the truth and fiction, you know, meat. Maybe that's true. I don't remember back, or maybe my parents didn't want to tell me about horse meat being what my dog was eating. I think our dog always ate scraps off the table, didn't he? He didn't get real dog food. But this guy bought up all the dog food for himself. Now, you might have said, well, that was kind of wise in that situation. And we're to be wise in buying up the opportunities, and by opportunities I mean choices of how we're going to use our time. Every portion of our time, we're to use it wisely. Now, the foolish person, by default, just uses their time however. And spiritually speaking, oftentimes that's a waste of time. A waste of time. If it's not invested for God, now that investment may be on your job, and you may be being the best employee you can possibly be. You may be being the best manager you can possibly be. And doing that for the glory of God, that's an investment for God. That's an investment that's buying up the opportunity to use for the Lord. Being sensitive, how does God want me to use this section of time? How does He want me to use this afternoon? How does He want me to use this morning, this evening? How does He want me to use this hour, this minute, this second? How does God want me to use that? You know, our theme this year here at the Assembly is Assembly Required. We've been encouraging one another to be involved in as many of the meetings of the Assembly as we can. Not so that we can have more numbers there. That's not what's important. But rather that we can together be growing and building up one another in the way that God would have us to do. As we meet together for the teaching of the Word of God, as we meet together for prayer and for the breaking of bread and remembering the Lord Jesus and for prayer. And when we gather together for those times, we are growing together. And as we see in the first half of Ephesians chapter 4, we need to be together appropriating these blessings, these spiritual blessings. Today's the last day, by the way, a little sidebar here. If you haven't filled out one of the little questionnaires about the Wednesday night meeting for the time, we'd love for you to do that. There's some on the table out there. Today's the last day to do it. We want to meet at the time that's most available for the most people because we want to give you the opportunity to be there. And at the other meetings of the local assembly, using our time. Last year, our theme was at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Spending that daily time with the Lord. I hope that we're not drifting away from that, though we're not emphasizing it in a particular way this year. But how am I using my time? Am I buying up every opportunity? Am I buying up every moment knowing that the Lord Jesus is there with me and the Holy Spirit is living within me? Am I investing time in fellowshipping with the saints, in studying the Word of God, in serving my Master? Redeeming the time, verse 16 says, why? Because the days are evil. The word for evil there really carries the thought of being dangerous or destructive. And we live in days that are dangerous and destructive, and they will destroy the lives of believers. We can waste more time today, probably, than we've ever been able to waste before. We have more things that will distract us away from what's really important and lead us into waste, a waste of time. And as we look back over our day, we look back over our week, we look back over our year, we look back over our lives, how much of the time has been invested in what God would say, that's wise. That's wise. Over in Colossians chapter 4, let me just read to you verses 5 and 6 of Colossians 4, and you'll see the similarity. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, or toward the unbelievers who are outside of the body of Christ. They've never trusted the Lord Jesus. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. Are you looking for those opportunities? What does God want you to do with this moment, with that moment? Let me give you a little illustration. True story. Opportunity. For the best investment of a specific period of time, for a specific slot of time. My brother Jimmy Garrett gave me permission to share this story, so I'm going to share it. It involves his diagnosis with cancer. And when Jimmy found out he had cancer, he, like anybody else that would have cancer, found out he was going to have a lot of tests done. So he went to the hospital to have a test done. And his wife was there with him, his faithful wife there by his side. And my wife was also there to hang out with his faithful wife while he was in there getting the test done. So he's in there getting the test done, and Jenny and Kim are sitting in the little waiting room, and they're having some wonderful fellowship. They're redeeming the time. They're buying up the opportunity to spend that time together to talk about the things of the Lord and share their lives. Well, little were they maybe noticing initially, there's another lady sitting in that small little room. And she can't help but overhear this conversation of two women who are buying up the opportunity to talk about the Lord and to talk about the things of God and spiritual things that are important to them. And this lady is overhearing that. And I think she might have made a comment. Did the lady make a comment? I can't remember, or y'all did. As the lady got ready to get up and go out, they called the lady out. Kim and Jenny gave her a gospel tract. And they asked her, "Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" And she said, "No, I don't." Well, she had to go out, I think, then, and I might get some of the things wrong. You can talk to Jenny and Kim. They were there. But then the lady came back in, and they began to talk with her and share the gospel with this lady. And there, while Jimmy's in there getting his test, wondering, "Why in the world am I going through all this?" The Lord was out there blessing as this woman professes to trust the Lord Jesus Christ in that little waiting room, because Kim and Jenny were looking for the opportunity, aware of the opportunity, taking advantage, buying up the opportunity. How many opportunities are there like that in our lives every day? And we miss them. We don't buy them up. We waste them. And for Brother Jimmy, who was in there having this test, he could say, "Hey, what a use of this time. How the Lord blessed this opportunity." We wouldn't see a cancer test as opportunity, but that's how God sees it. And God sees every difficulty in your life, and every relationship in your life, and every interaction in your life and in mine. He sees all of that as opportunities that He wants us to buy up, to redeem, to purchase. And that leads us right into verse 17. And these three things really build on each other. Verse 17, we read, "Wherefore, since the days are evil," since that you need to be wise in selecting the best investment for your walk, "wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Will is intention. It's desire. Its purpose. And we need wisdom in selecting the best intention of our walk, of our lives. We should be wise in knowing what intentions we will follow. What is our purpose? What is our intention? Whose will are we going to follow ultimately? Whose desire? Whose purpose? Whose intention? Now, the unwise person we find here in this verse, the unwise person does not know what the Lord's will is. They don't understand the Lord's will. They don't understand the Lord's intention for their lives, again, because probably that individual is going by the default. The default is just living life according to what my flesh wants, what the world tells me I ought to do, and what Satan, as an angel of light, would try to lead me to do. And if I don't understand the Lord's will, then I'm just going to go and I'm going to do my own will, or I'm going to do the will of someone else. Don't be unwise.
Rather, understand what the will of the Lord is, what the will of the Master is. He is Lord. And if I don't know what the Lord's will is, I can expect to make unwise decisions. You see, the wise believer understands the will of God. And now, how am I going to know that? I'm going to know it from the Word of God. I'm going to know what God wants me to do based on the Scripture. And as Romans 12:2 says, then I won't be conformed to this world, but I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will or intention of God. What is God's intention for your life? And what is God's intention for this day in your life? And what is God's intention for this slot of 15 minutes in your life? You see, buying up the opportunities stands on knowing what God's will is. We can know that God's will is for us to be aware of others around us who don't know the Lord Jesus, that we might hand out a tract or speak a word, reflect the light of the Lord Jesus in our actions to them. It's the will of God that we might edify, build up other believers in the Lord Jesus, that we might be an encouragement to them, that we might share our lives with them. We know from 1 Thessalonians 4:3 that God's will is our sanctification, our purity, abstaining from immorality. We know from 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that the will of God for us as believers is to give thanks in every situation. We know that it's the will of God, according to 1 Peter 2:15, that with well-doing we would put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. And we can go all through the Word of God, and we can find the will of God for us. As we rightly understand, as we rightly divide the Word of God, we can understand, what does God want me to do? Yesterday morning, sitting there in the men's breakfast, Rod Sharp was sharing the Scriptures with the men who were there. And as he shared, I was reminded that every time we hear the Word of God, we're hearing the will of God. We're learning more of what God wants us to do. We're learning specific things He commands us to do. We're learning different things about His character that help us to understand that based on the character of God, here's the decision I should make. And I can trust God that if He says, make this decision now, it's because what's going to happen down the road is going to prove that it was a wise decision, even if humanly speaking, it seems foolish. We need to choose the best intention. And then finally, in verses 18 to 20, we need to walk wisely, exercising wisdom in selecting the best influence on our walk. The best influence. We should be wise in choosing what is going to influence us. Now's the time of graduation. We actually have two graduates in our household this year, one from high school, one from college. As we think about those who are graduating, we look back to what has influenced them to get to this point of graduation, but we also look forward. And we often challenge them about what's going to influence them in the future. We read here in verse 18 that we're not to be drunk with wine, we're in his excess, but we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of you here this morning know the truth that that word for filling there carries the word of control, the word of the thought of influence, the thought of being filled up with something so that it impacts what we do. Today, those who have taken in a certain amount of alcohol over a certain level and they drive down the road, they receive a ticket, a DUI. They're driving under the influence. Or maybe that's what we used to get, not we. Sorry. That's what people used to get for driving. Now it's a DWI now? Or the other way around? Nobody knows. You hadn't gotten any good. Praise the Lord. I was a test right there. I was going to see who answered. Driving under the influence of what? Of alcohol. In other words, taking the alcohol in, drinking the wine, as he uses the illustration here, drinking the wine, taking that in, or some other substance that influences the decisions and the reaction time that you make or that you have. You know, we need to be getting a WUI, walking under the influence, walking by the Spirit. Actually, we're all walking under the influence. It's just a question of under what influence are we living our lives. Is it wine or some other influencer of this world, possessions or power or comfort or fun or safety? Or is it the Holy Spirit? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he lists some evidences here, and we'll just look at them very quickly. First of all, we see the evidence of singing, music in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In your heart to the Lord. You might say, I can't sing a note. Well, you can sing a note. It's just not maybe the right one at the right time, but you can sing a note. But the point is, what is in your heart? Is it overflowing? Is the Spirit of God controlling your life? Are you allowing Him to fill you? He lives in every believer, but is He filling your life? Is He influencing your life? Are you selecting the best influence on your walk? One way that comes out is in music. Maybe when you're happy, when you're joyful, but maybe when you're sad. There are sad songs. It's interesting that it's put like this here in this verse. I was meditating on this, and you know, everything we sing, we could just say. The choir could have stood up here this morning and recited what they sang. But God has created music, and He has a purpose in that, and we find that it's even an evidence of the Spirit of God controlling our lives and overflowing out of our lives. It's the whole idea of music. Well, our time's up, so we'll stop, and we'll just finish this up next week and move on into our next section. But the encouragement this morning, the challenge this morning, is to walk wisely. To walk wisely is to walk carefully, being sensitive. Sensitive to every opportunity that God lays before us. Sensitive to the will of God, His intention, in every moment of every day, in every matter, in every decision. Being sensitive to God, the Holy Spirit who lives within the believer. Being sensitive to His influence as we walk throughout this life. I trust that if you know the Lord Jesus as Savior, you will walk even more carefully this week. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's a wonderful opportunity to confess Him as your Savior today, to recognize you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again. He shed His blood for you, that you might not have to spend eternity in hell, but you can spend it in heaven. That you might not have to spend time wandering aimlessly in the dark and in selfishness and in foolishness, but rather that you can walk in the light, that you can walk as a child of light, that you can walk selflessly in love, and that you can walk wisely, sensitive to the Spirit of God. We'd love to talk with you. I'll be by the front door, and I'd love to talk with you more about these things. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for letting us be here. We thank You for Your grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. And Father, we thank You for Your grace that has allowed us the strength and the ability to be together this morning and the spiritual grace to look into Your Word and to hear the Scriptures. And we pray that this morning, Lord, You are taking Your Word and by the Holy Spirit, You're putting it deep within our hearts that we might see the importance, the necessity for those of us who know the Lord Jesus, that we might walk wisely, that we might be careful, that we might be sensitive to You. Father, that we might select the right investment for our time and the right, Father, the right influence, Father, under which we should walk and the right intention for every step of our lives. Thank You, Father, for each one here today. We thank you for the blessing that the Lord Jesus is here with us, where two or three have gathered in his name, and we pray in his name. Amen. And the Lord bless you.